It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan finds herself on the other side of the bench today as deliberations in her federal trial get underway in Milwaukee.
A jury is hearing the case against Dugan, who is accused of concealing an immigrant to try to prevent his arrest by federal agents at the courthouse back in April. Dugan has pleaded not guilty to the charges.
The case has generated national attention. President Trump said over the summer that the case should not be dismissed. And this month, Illinois passed a law barring immigration and customs enforcement agents from its courtrooms. If convicted, the judge could face up to 6 years in prison.
To understand more about the case and its ramifications, we turn to two legal experts. Jacob Hamburger is an assistant professor of law at Marquette University Law School. Jacob, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And John Gross is here, clinical associate professor at the University of Wisconsin Law School and director of its Public Defender Project. John, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
John, let's start with you. Remind us, what happened back in April that led to these charges against Judge Dugan?
So back in April, there were a group of federal law enforcement officers from Immigration Customs Enforcement who were in the courthouse, and they were going to make an arrest of someone who had a court appearance in front of Judge Dugan. And that was something that was, in Judge Dugan's perspective, a little controversial. There had been ongoing discussion between federal agents and the chief judge in Milwaukee about how to conduct these operations and some concerns over that they might have a chilling effect on people's willingness to come to the courthouse.
And Jacob, you know, there's video footage from what happened in the courthouse that day that has circulated widely, and it shows the judge speaking to ICE agents in the hallway and then the defendant later leaving the courtroom by this jury door that's not open to the public and fleeing the courthouse. How pivotal could this footage be for the trial?
Well, I think the main factual issue in this trial is going to be what exactly was Judge Dugan's intent while all this was going on. What she's argued is that her intent is essentially to act as a judge and take lawful actions that are part of her authority to manage her courtroom. And so I think this video evidence, and as well as the audio transcript that's going on during the trial, I think leaves a lot of room for the jury to find really on either side that either, right, you know, it, possibly right, that she was trying to obstruct what the federal agents were doing, but also that she was simply trying to manage her courtroom or minimize disruption, or that there was some uncertainty, at least in her mind, about what the arrest plan of the ICE agents was at the time. So I think the evidence that the jury is going to see in this trial, you know, leaves a significant amount of room on both sides to interpret Judge Dugan's intent there.
John, what will you be watching for from the witness stand?
Well, I think in terms of the evidence that's going to be submitted, I don't think there's going to be a lot of factual dispute about what occurred. There's both video and audio that's going to be submitted. A number of law enforcement agents will testify about their interactions with Judge Dugan. I even expect that they'll call members of Judge Dugan's staff to testify about what went on inside the courtroom. But again, I think the question is going to be whether or not Judge Dugan had this corrupt intent, which is one of the elements of one of the charges, and whether or not her actions actually fit the definitions of concealment, which is what the other charge requires. And I think that's going to be very much in dispute, because even though she allows someone to exit her courtroom from maybe a door or a hallway that's not accessible to the public generally, that does lead to a public area, a hallway in the courtroom. And so I think there's going to be a lot of legal arguments about whether or not her actions actually fit the definitions of these two federal offenses.
And so, Jacob, 9 men, mm-hmm. 5 women on this jury. What arguments do you anticipate prosecutors will make in front of this jury?
Well, I think the arguments that they're going to make are you know, first of all, that the actions she took were intended to obstruct the federal immigration, the arrest plan to arrest Mr. Flores Ruiz, who was appearing in her court. So, they're going to look at the actions that she took and, you know, what the video shows about what those actions were, about leading him to this other door, for example, and trying to deduce from that, right, and also potentially using some circumstantial evidence, maybe about what she might have believed about a federal immigration enforcement, to try to show that what she was trying to do was to stop ICE from being ICE agents from being able to arrest Mr. Flores Ruiz and to ensure that he ultimately doesn't get arrested or deported. I think, as Professor Gross mentioned, that there's not a ton of factual material that will be in dispute, but once again, what they're going to be trying to put together here is, from what we see in the courtroom and from maybe what we might know otherwise about her or about her views of the immigration landscape in general, the government's arguments are going to try to piece from that all that together some intent to obstruct or interfere with what the ICE agents were doing in the courtroom that day.
We're talking about the federal trial of Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan with two legal experts, Jacob Hamburger there at Marquette University Law School. John Gross is here from the UW Law School. John, Judge Dugan has assembled a pretty significant legal defense team. How will Dugan's defense attorneys try to counter the charges?
So I think they're going to target two main areas, which is one, the one charge does require that she have this corrupt intent. And what a corrupt intent actually entails is going to be largely up to the view of the jurors who are going to deliberate in the case. But I think they're going to make the claim that what Judge Dugan was attempting to do was to really ascertain what the ICE agents were going to do. What was their plan for making this arrest? And did they have the approval of the chief judge to be inside the courthouse? Had there been some agreement about that? What exactly was the process that was going to unfold that day just outside of her courtroom? And she made claim that she was also concerned about public safety. And so I think there's going to be a real push to say her intent was not corrupt. It was actually the opposite of corrupt. It was one where she was interested in maintaining the decorum and orderliness of the courthouse. And then again, I think they're going to target this idea that she actively concealed someone. The person was in a public courtroom. In her courtroom, they used the side door to exit back into a public hallway. And so I think they're going to challenge the notion that Judge Dugan both had a corrupt intent and that she actively concealed someone from federal law enforcement.
John, do you think we'll hear from Dugan?
It's always a little dicey to make that guess. But if I was going to make a guess here, I would say yes. I would say that most juries, despite the fact they're instructed to not hold it against the defendant if they don't testify, most jurors appreciate hearing from the defendant. And this is a case where, again, I think Judge Dugan has plenty of an explanation to give to the jurors about why she may have been doing what she did on that day. And that's such a critical part of the case. I would expect she would probably take the stand in her own defense.
Jacob, on a larger level here, how does this case affect immigrants?
So there's a number of responses to that. I think the first thing, regardless of the outcome here, is what we've been seeing with the increased immigration enforcement under this administration has been that we're seeing immigration enforcement enter to a much larger degree into more and more areas of public life. So that can be immigration agents coming to courthouses, but also to schools, hospitals, places of worship, places where ICE agents had typically not conducted enforcement in the past. And so I think regardless of the outcome in this case, we're seeing that these federal immigration priorities are taking precedent over some important public policy concerns about making sure that people can come to these types of places, particularly to attend their court hearings if they have to appear in court in a place like here in Milwaukee County. And so we're seeing people being afraid, right, to come to court out of fear of ICE enforcement. And I think the choice to prosecute Judge Dugan in this case, I think we can see this as part of the Trump administration's broader strategy of trying to, through various techniques, put pressure on state and local officials to cooperate with the administration's agenda of mass deportations. On the one hand, you've seen a significant amount of money under the reconciliation bill from this past summer going to state and local jurisdictions that decided to actively to cooperate with the federal government in its immigration enforcement. But now, on the other hand, you see that if for state and local officials that are at least perceived as not cooperating with that enforcement agenda, you know, the possible consequences might include prosecution and conviction of individual officials like we're seeing in this case.
Yeah, you know, John, Attorney General Pam Bondi had said earlier this year that the case shows there are consequences for judges who don't, you know, who interfere with immigration policies. Do you anticipate this case could have a chilling effect on the judicial system?
Well, I do think that's why the case, at least in part, was brought, that this is meant to have a chilling effect. Generally speaking, immigration enforcement is solely the prerogative of the federal government. State courts, state law enforcement agencies are under no obligation to participate in immigration enforcement. But I think the message here is clear that any attempt to interfere, obstruct, or dissuade the enforcement of immigration laws in courthouses, in any public space, is going to be met with stiff resistance from the federal government, and they will use all the tools at their disposal to discourage any type of interference, or in this case, even questioning of ICE agents when they're trying to conduct immigration enforcement.
Well, John and Jacob, thank you both so much for your analysis. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Happy to do it.
Jacob Hamburger there, an assistant law professor at Marquette University's Law School. And John Gross is the director of the Public Defender Project at UW-Madison's Law School and a clinical associate professor. We've been talking about the federal trial of Milwaukee Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan, charged with concealing an immigrant back in April. Her trial gets underway today.